God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you this day and forever through our risen Jesus. Amen. A couple of words from our sermon series, the sermon that was assigned this morning from that Behold the Man series to get us started. Behold the man who died and who now lives. His heart was stopped, but again it pulses with a new rhythm, a new vigor. His veins spilled their crimson contents all over the Golgotha ground, but now they course with a fresh supply of warm, red, oxygenated blood. His lungs were deflated and flat after that loud cry with which he yielded up his spirit, but now they expand and they fill with the perfumed, stale air of the tomb. His eyes were closed in death, but now they open. They squint to take in the sights. His hands had been nailed, but now they spread all 10 living fingers open before picking up the grave cloths and carefully folding them. His feet had dragged lifelessly as his body was placed into the tomb, but now they reach to the ground and plant 10 living toes in the cool dirt. His skin had cooled to the ambient temperature of the stone and dirt grave, but now it radiates heat and warmth, though it still possesses 5 distinct wounds from nails and a spear. His brain had been still and dead, but now the electrons dance and the synapses and neurons sparkle. His stomach, which hasn't eaten since Thursday, growls and suggests somewhat urgently that the Lenten fast is over. Behold the man. Jesus, God and man, he lives. He rises triumphantly from the dead, and he strolls out of the grave into his creation. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I got to do it again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is interesting. This is exciting. And I pray that you don't just get this response down, Pat, but it moves something in our hearts to realize what this could possibly mean for us. Because what we're saying when Christ is risen and he is risen indeed, what we're proclaiming is not only his resurrection, but we also acknowledge his death. It makes me wonder, even as John and Simon Peter walk back from the tomb, they didn't see Jesus. Mary stuck around. She got to see him. But those guys, they walked back, and they walked back to the other disciples who were hearing these strange turn of events, sort of early edition news. After the resurrection, especially after they saw Jesus face to face, at what point do you think those disciples began to wonder? Did Jesus even die? Had he really been dead in the first place? We proclaim Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But that means he was, past tense, dead. And we know how death works. It's supposed to be a one-time thing, a permanent deal. And so if we know that Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Maybe our brains even go back and begin to doubt. If he's alive, he's alive. I mean, it's human nature to doubt one's own facts when you're presented with facts that seem to contradict, that seem impossible to be true. If Jesus is alive now, was he really dead then? Was he just fainting when he yelled, "It is finished," and he crumpled lifeless on that cross? Did the soldiers mistake a deep sleep for death when they pierced his side to see that water and blood and death would flow forth? Could the enemies of Jesus have overlooked all the proofs necessary, all the proofs of life or lack thereof, as they verified that their greatest adversary had been silenced? Could it be that Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus and those others who saw to his burial, could it be that they had tightly wrapped up a body that was still breathing? did the very mother of Jesus miss the smallest twitch of a muscle that might have meant that her firstborn was still alive as she stared heartbroken at her son's body being taken away from Golgotha? It couldn't be. No, it must be true. Jesus had died. There were far too many witnesses. There was far too much on the line for way too many people. Jesus was, past tense, but for sure, dead. Jesus had died as a sacrificial lamb. He had died to pay the debt for all of our sin that had been racked up for all time up till then and all time after to eternity. He had died, suffering even the hurts of hell, that absolute absence of the Father's love and grace. He was dead. But he isn't dead now. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, it might be hard to believe these facts. Scientifically, it might not make sense because they don't make sense. How could something, someone, die, be completely absent of any life or the hope of being rejuvenated, and then be alive again? And on the third day, no less. That's too much time dead. That's too far gone. A body cannot be revived or rejuvenated. How could it be? Well, you know, he did tell us. He did give us fair warning. Jesus said, "No one takes it, my life, from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And so now he does. No other man possesses this kind of authority to lay down his own life and then take it back up on the third day. This authority, this is huge. This is amazing. He, Jesus, has authority. And authority means he's the author. He's the maker of life. He calls the shots. He makes the rules. And he breaks the rules. Overcomes the rules because Jesus has done the impossible. In this Jesus, as we behold this man, we look at a God who took on the flesh of humanity, except his was perfect flesh, flesh that was holy in contrast to ours, which was soiled and full of guilt. The Holy One, this Jesus, he suffered on that cross the pains of hell. Without going there, he suffered hell itself so that you and I and all who believe will never need to. Yes, death had its hour. Death had its time, about 36 hours to be precise, when he was truly and utterly devoid of life. His body was dead in the tomb. Death had claimed its creator, the creator, not death's creator, excuse me. Our creator never intended death. It was the brokenness of the world that raised that ugly head. And death still does look scary. It still is ugly. Our last hymn talks about it being transformed into a portal into life everlasting. And yet it doesn't make it any cleaner or nicer or more friendly in appearance. But dear brothers and sisters, when we proclaim our alleluias, we know that even though death can roar and scream and make us fearful, it has been defeated. This body, this man, our God, Jesus, he was dead, but now he is alive. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. To say that he is risen means that God is alive. He was dead, past tense, but God is present tense, right now, very much living. And he remains alive. And he remains able. He remains victorious. And if death and hell cannot defeat God, try to name something that can. Nothing can come up against God. Nothing can defeat him. He has won the greatest victory. So let us not doubt his miraculous resurrection. Let's not second guess his abilities. Do not doubt if God still cares, even if we're not getting our way. Do not wonder what God is up to up there while we see the world falling apart to pieces. Do not fear that the world is somehow lost or beyond God's love or saving grace. Instead, know for sure that we have a God who cared enough to die. We have a God who has guaranteed your victory over death as well as his victory. Please know that God not only works in mysterious ways, but they are perfect ways, even if they're not our ways or our timing. Know that God continues to care for this world, even amongst fires and bombings, even amongst mocks and taunts and jeers. We might not like the effects of not following God's plan, or the choices made by a sinful and broken creation, but God is preparing to make all things new. He has a way. He has made a way. And so for us now, it's a matter of timing. On the third day, like the sign of Jonah, he was raised from the dead. Do you think that Saturday was any fun for anybody? Probably not. It was a matter of timing. On the seventh day, he rested. Sometimes rest feels like such a waste of time, but it was intentional by God that on that last day of the week, that Saturday, he fulfilled the Sabbath. Because we never have. It was all about taking that time. It was about God's timing, that he would come at just the right time in just the right place, and on that Passover fulfill the role of a Passover lamb that all the blood of beasts would never have touched. And still today, it's just a matter of timing for your lives, for my life, for the lives of those who will come to believe in him. It's a matter of timing, but it's not our time. Today, we lift up his victorious timing. It's a 3 days in the tomb sort of timing. It's a no one knows the day or the hour sort of timing. It's the behold, I will be with you always sort of timing. And I pray that this is enough for us. As we marvel with those disciples who got to see their rabbi, their brother, their God made flesh later on that Easter day. As we marvel with Mary, who's told, don't cling, I got to get going, there's lots to do. As we smile with those angels, like on our bulletin cover, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Christ is not dead. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And we praise God for this, his resurrection. Amen. If you would now, let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. The easiest place to find it is the inside back cover of our hymn books. We rise to confess our faith together.